with that. All right, Kobe just called in. Fritzy feels a little bit better. We'll get to your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. I can hear Fritzy sweat. Are you okay over there?
I'm much better now. I just heard Kobe's voice, and he is standing by to talk to you.
Hi, Kobe.
Hey, what's up, Dan? What's going on?
Just hitting jumpers, 15-footers. I don't know if you're watching on TV, but I was trying to give a clinic. Always follow your shot. Just remember that, okay?
I'll do my best to.
All right. When's the last time you were 100% healthy?
100%. I'm getting close now. So if I hit 100% here in a week or so, that'll probably be the first time in probably since before I had facial hair.
What always hurts?
Everything.
After a game?
Everything. It's one of those things where, you know, your feet hurt, your ankles hurt. You know what I mean? Your hamstring is sore. It's just one of those things when you're in athletics, unless you're, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, can run all day.
But you also, and people don't understand this, when you're a great scorer, the energy it takes to be a great scorer and the pounding that you take. At what point did you understand what you had to do in the offseason to prepare you for that every single night when you come to town, somebody says, I got him, we're going to shut him down?
Well, it was easy for me to understand what I needed to do physically after my first year. Because, you know, when I first came in, you know, I was 18 years old, and they were beating up on me just because, you know, I was 18. So, you know, going into that off season, I knew exactly how I needed to strengthen my body to make sure I was ready to take that pounding.
Biggest challenge in the West is who?
The West is, you know, always stacked with tough teams. So it's easy for me to sit here and say that everybody's is a tough challenge, and that's an accurate statement.
But let's narrow it down here. Oklahoma City, after what you saw in the playoffs, or do you look at somebody else who might be a bigger chance? San Antonio?
Well, I mean, we just focus on ourselves. But if you look at the West, it's always, at the end of the year, it just tends to be the usual suspects in terms of, you know, San Antonio, Dallas, Utah, you know, Oklahoma is throwing themselves into the mix, obviously, with that run they had last year. So we have to see how they develop as the season goes on.
What about the East?
Well, I don't really know, man. I mean, obviously, Miami put themselves in a position. I mean, what you want to do, you know, to win a championship, you want to take steps. And I think they took a big step by, you know, signing D-Wade back and bringing LeBron and Chris Bosh in. I mean, that's their first step. And then they brought in great role players around them. So, obviously, they took a huge step forward. In Boston, you know, they're still right there in Orlando. And I'm curious to see how Atlanta progresses. And Milwaukee's a sleeper team as well.
But I still like you guys to win the championship. Why is that?
Oh, good. Thank you.
But I just do. I think there's something to be said for teamwork, camaraderie, that I can put all-stars on a team, and as great as LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh are, I still have to look at Phil Jackson with you and the rest of that team, and I still like that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're doing okay. You know, we'll have a different team than we did last year. You know, we made some pretty significant additions, obviously not as, you know, explosive as an addition as they made in Miami, but you know, we're happy with bringing in Matt and Blake and Dio, and, you know, our two rookies have been a pleasant surprise as well. So you know, we like what we've done.
He's Kobe Bryant joining us at the Dan Patrick Show. But how tough is it to bring somebody in who was a nemesis with you, that maybe you guys, you know, competitive jawing back and forth with Matt?
Nah, you know, it's easy for me. You know, it's all about competition, and you want guys that are competitive. You know, you don't want guys who quit or roll over during competition. I mean, you can't win a championship with those guys. So it's fun for me to have Matt here, and you know, and Blake as well. You know, Blake and I have had our battles as well.
Does it get personal?
It makes practice more interesting.
Does it get personal though when you're facing these guys as opponents?
No, it doesn't get personal at all. But you know, in practice, you know, you definitely make sure practice is competitive. As it was with Ron last year.
Do you text Ron more or Phil Jackson more during the offseason?
Ron.
Have you text Phil Jackson before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Phil and I, that's how we communicate over the summers via text or email.
Ron is, it seems like he's going to auction off or raffle off his championship ring?
Yeah, he is.
Does he have it yet?
No, he gets the ring. We all get it tomorrow for the first time. We haven't seen it or anything, so tomorrow will be the first time we get it.
Last time you wore your championship ring?
Opening night last year.
Do you ever wear it out to a function?
Nah, when I get it on opening night, on ring night, I'll wear it out to dinner, and then I put it up.
Because I would think it would be hard to dress. What do you wear if you're going to wear a championship ring out?
Your Laker uniform. You go outside with it. Like full-on warm-ups and everything.
If you're looking at the rookies coming in, do you care who comes into the league?
Not at all.
You couldn't care less about who these guys are?
Not at all. I follow them. Like John Wall, I haven't really seen him play yet, but I've heard a lot about him. And, I hope he does extremely well, obviously. Now, I pull for all the young guys. But at this stage of my career, I'm really just locked in on, the teams and, how we're progressing and trying to play until June.
If you were speaking at the rookie symposium, what would you tell those kids?
I think the most important thing for them is to remember what got them there. That's the most important thing. When you get to the NBA, you have people pulling you from all kinds of directions. They had a big contract, all this stuff going on. And it's important to remember what got you there, which is the love of the game and the work ethic. And I think a lot of young players tend to forget that.
When's the last time the word retirement came up in conversation?
Last night when I said I was going to retire to bed early.
Well done. Well done. What about your career with retirement?
This is the first time. So this is the first.
Right now, you're talking about retirement.
Right now, this is a first.
Okay, how long do you have left that you want to play?
I don't know. I don't know. Who really knows? I mean, I hear different players when they go through retirement and that whole process, and what they go through emotionally and all sort of stuff. And I'm nowhere near there yet. And but I guess when it hits me, I'll know.
But is it your body that'll tell you or your mind?
Well, you want to be able to make the decision independent of your body. Because then it's like your body forced you to retire. So, at least myself, I like to make the decision based on, whether or not I want to retire, not having anything to do with my body.
But could you... You have to have Jordan in mind that what he did with the Bulls, you end on a championship shot, and then you just couldn't sit there idle, and then you came back with the Wizards. Could you ever see a scenario where you announce your retirement and then say, I got second thoughts?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you've seen so many people, so many players do it, that it's tough to say that you won't go through that, because obviously everybody does go through that.
Yeah.
And that's the point where, you have your family, handcuff you to a chair.
What are you going to do with the rest of your life, though?
I'm just going to just lay around.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I'm basically going to be a beach whale.
Will you get fat?
I'll get chunky.
Chunky? Will you look like John Bagley?
John Bagley, yeah, just add another 7 inches.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit tall. You'll be like Mel Turpin, maybe, but you'll be... No, you know who you'll be? You'll be like Tractor Trailer.
Nah, not quite there, but I see where you're going with it. But,
yeah.
More like a big bone kind of thing.
Oh, big bone. Who retires first, you or Phil Jackson?
Phil.
So you've got at least... Phil's going to coach next year, too, isn't he?
I hope so, but you never know. You never know. I mean, I honestly didn't think he was going to come back this year.
Why would you? He can't pass up a great chance to win again. I mean, you got another three-peat there on the doorstep. Why? How could you walk away from that?
Yeah, he's got 11 of them. you know what I mean? It's not like he's like thirsty for rings here.
Well, can he give one to Genie?
Genie has a bunch of rings too.
No, another ring. If I'm Jerry Buss, I would have said to Phil, look, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to pay you a lot of money, but I'd like for Genie to have a ring, not a championship ring. Okay.
You mean like a wedding ring?
Yes.
You know what, man? That's a whole nother can of worms that I don't care.
You'd rather talk about LeBron than that, wouldn't you?
Man, they're two grown-ass people, man. They can do whatever they want to.
Did LeBron call you for advice?
Nah, I haven't spoken to him. I saw him this summer, but we didn't talk over the phone about it or anything.
So before the decision, he didn't seek out anybody to ask for advice on something like that?
I don't know. I don't know if he seeked out advice. I mean, I didn't hear anything from him.
All right. Hey, well, good luck with the season. Good to visit with you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, man. Take care.
All right. Kobe Bryant, Lakers.